You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
I definitely have friends. Objectively, I can say that I have all the friends. I have friends. I definitely have friends. Friends, friendly friends. Time to meet my friends.
Angela.
Shannon.
Jim.
Moosh.
We have friends. We definitely have friends. No one can say that we do not have friends.
We have friends. We definitely have friends. Friends, friendly friends. We have all the friends.
Cool. Welcome again to the Crazy Ex-Girlfriends podcast. This is episode 9, where we recap, review, talk all about the show Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, a show on the CW, which I just read the official Netflix recap on. And I don't know how I feel about it. It is still pining for Josh, the boy who dumped her ages ago. Whip smart lawyer Rebecca jettisons her way to New York, or jettisons her New York life, and moves to California to win him back. I'm like, would I watch that show?
No,
I wouldn't watch that show.
It's probably like dumbed down the whole thing.
I know.
You didn't talk anything about the songs or her funny friends
or the sarcasm.
She gets into shenanigans.
Shenanigans all the time. She's in on the joke. At this point in the series, where we are almost at the end of season one. Aww. And she has pretty much tried to win him back to like the extent of making out with him and then almost getting him to break up with his girlfriend. But then that didn't happen. And then she freaked out and she tried to move back home. And now she's trying to put her life back together. So
Jean goes to Copy and stopped her.
Yes, she did. In the recap the official recap on the episode, as they're introducing what's about to happen, they show her thank you, Dream Ghost, Dr. Hagopian. And it was really cute. I really liked that version of it. I think the confusion on Dr. Hagopian's face. Because she, it was
and
a fantasy
sequence.
And the
fellow Dream Ghost.
Yes, they were just all so confused for being thanked.
And by the way, there's a gnat in here. And I think it's going to drive us all crazy.
We've all looked at it.
We've all looked at it.
Pointed.
And you're like, you can't do the clap thing with it because then you're making noise and there's equipment here. And like the other day I had a glass of wine and... like these three gnats came and found me, and I was like, I hate you all. If I could kill all your families, I would.
Gnats kind of are the worst. I have a lot of spiders in my new place, and I'm kind of okay with it. Yeah, I'm assuming.
Nancy, hey there.
I'm holding. They're eating what? The gnats.
They're gonna eat the bastards.
The ants.
Kill any mosquitoes the bastards. That might get in.
Yes. So I'm just living with them. There's like three different corners.
And that's cool. What do they say? You're supposed to like swallow, and this is probably one of those made up statistics because it doesn't sound like it could be true, but you're supposed to swallow like 6 spiders a year people typically do. And I'm like, I think I'm going to call the bullshit button on that. But at least, then you can have some protein in the middle of the night as well.
Yeah.
Yay.
And I'm giving them the benefit of the doubt.
Yes.
To just like give me my space, I give them theirs. So we'll see how it goes. No bites yet.
So have you ever had like one of those like bug relationships with people? Like I've had it before where I had this one friend and if we saw spiders, I'd have to kill the spiders. But if he ever saw a cockroach, then he had to be on cockroach duty.
No, I haven't had those friends.
Yep. It's probably important to have a friend who is not afraid of the same bugs that you are.
My mom had to kill bees for my dad, and they divorced.
Oh, no.
So be careful.
So be
and
careful.
That was the reason cited in the divorce papers.
Yes.
Yes. This man can't handle his bugs.
Too dependent on the bug killing.
Oh, yeah. There was just a time. They went to the cornfield and there was a bee about and he was all like, kill it, kill it. And she's like, that's it. I can take it no longer. Not to,
characterize
the situation, but
that's pretty accurate.
Oh, it is.
I mean,
I'm psychic. Did you know I have superpowers?
Yes. Yeah.
You did.
I mean, except for that I didn't. It wasn't a cornfield. It was California, but everything else was totally accurate.
Wow. You guys, I'm available for parties and special events of all kinds.
I'm just shocked it's a little personal. I'm like, oh, that's cool. Like, I don't want to ask any questions.
See, and that's the problem. Like, I apologize for being overly personal. You also have to notice that, like, when I get in these moments, my eyes get really big because I'm really excited. I'm like, tell me all about it.
Mm-hmm. I want to hear all about these bees.
Yes. I hope I don't regret this conversation later, but I can't think about it. I just want to know.
I don't know too much because it happened when I was, like, a baby, but supposedly my father claimed to be deathly allergic. So my mom
claimed.
Well, I mean, he's not. I mean, he might be now, but at the time he wasn't dead. So deathly allergic.
I've claimed to be allergic to things before. Well, actually, I was, but it went away, and I just never mentioned it. Like, oh, I'm allergic to grass. Oh, I can't mow the lawn like ever.
That's a nice lame one to be.
Well, and I was allergic to. Yeah, as a kid before they had Claritin, and then Claritin came around. I'm like, okay, well, it's not so bad, but let's hope no one notices. Mm-hmm.
I did an allergy test once.
Oh,
because I was going through so many problems, and it turns out the two things I was allergic to are cats, which I have those, and dust, which I'm never going to avoid. So I just kind of now pretend that doesn't exist or it's not a health problem.
That's what I would do as well. Like, if someone told me I was allergic to cats, I'd be like, well, I guess I'm going to shave him and that's all that's going to happen. I'm going to just take a lot of medication. I'm going to have my spoonful of honey at night because that's supposed to help with allergies.
Oh, yeah,
stuff.
Your local honey.
Yeah, local honey.
Nice.
And be like, well, fine. I'll just die as opposed to get rid of this cat.
I think we're in a room of cat people, so... Yes. That's meow. Yeah, that's a clear statement.
Yep.
Also,
well, it was kind of funny. Like, everyone nodded a little bit. Like, yeah, okay, we die instead of get rid of our cats.
I mean, we don't want to be the person that get rid of the cat because you're allergic.
Oh no, everyone. Yeah.
Yeah, I just
nobody
don't want
wants,
to.
No.
I've never been taught to take care of myself to that extent. So, if
that's a good point.
If there's
too.
Something wrong, it's just don't pay attention.
No,
ignore it.
The closest I've come to that kind of knowledge is put yourself first in a sexy way. Right? Like, But yeah. Oh, sorry. I totally got us off topic. I was talking about
it's the best topic.
It is the best topic. But I was like, now that we're doing these night podcasts, I'm like, my brain is so awake.
It's firing so much faster.
It is.
Well, we have two episodes today. They're 16 and 17. Josh's sister is getting married. And 17, why is Josh in a bad mood?
Don't be in a bad mood.
So we have Shannon and Angela going to recap those. I think in that order, right?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Shannon's first. And Shannon has the beer bell. Okay. I just have to, whenever we come into the studio at some point, I'm always like, where's the beer bell? From our drunk episode.
Yes. Which I still haven't listened to.
Memories. It's really not that bad.
No, I don't think it is. No. I just haven't.
And honestly, we don't even sound that under the weather. So anyway.
Keep it together. That's keep a bad together. Thing to learn about yourself, though.
That we can keep it together?
We can keep it together completely drunk.
Why is that a bad thing? I think that'd be a good
That's
thing.
That's a great thing.
I don't know how much we're keeping it together.
there's a definite, you know, pendulum that can swing between keep it together and lose your shit. And we're somewhere in the middle. Mm-hmm. I think we're closer to the keep it together
side.
Yeah,
we're not slurring our words or anything.
Nope.
No. No, we're not fighting.
Mm-mm. But mine gets like a lot higher pitched and I'm just like, you guys, there's so many exciting things in the world. Where are the butterflies? Let's get the butterflies.
I love it. I love that aspect of you.
Aww. No, I'm blushing.
Which we can't see.
Which you can't see. Okay. Anyway, so episode 16, Josh's sister's getting married. So, you know, Rebecca's come back from Dream Ghost Ecopian time, and she's all like, I'm changed. I'm going to do things differently. I'm all healthy. And so she's breaking old patterns. She tries to get rid of all the Josh stuff. She opens up a cabinet that's full of Josh stuff. You also see Greg at the bar, and he's like, I got into the Emory, which is Harvard of the South. And like, there's all these times where, I thought that was Vanderbilt. And then later on, it's, what is it later on?
Duke.
I thought that was Duke.
Yeah.
And he's like, and when it comes to the Duke one, he's like, no, I Googled it. Or Google it or whatever. But anyway, so, he's studying at a bar a little bit, which is not the best thing to do.
I totally relate to it, though.
So do I. Honestly, I think I do better studying and writing, mm-hmm. you know, because I like to sit and write and... And, you know, coffee shops, You can do it a little bit, but you get a little bit more inspired when you have yourself a few Hefeweizens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just, I mean, there's a couple places that I literally went to every time I had homework. So, yeah.
I didn't do it when I was younger and actually in school because I was, you know, very moral. And mm-hmm. I lost those, which is great because now I can,
now you can have fun and work in bars.
That's right. Someday I'll learn how to be a bartender. But anyway, so, you know, Greg's at school and he's all like, and I didn't take notes to the same effect that I normally do. So my thoughts are going to be a little bit more wobbly.
That's fine.
Mm-hmm. But, you know,
we'll fill in the gaps.
Yeah. We'll fill in my
gaps.
We'll
keep it sturdy.
Yeah. Aww. We lift you up. Anyway, so Greg gets a C- on a multiple choice paper because he didn't try hard enough. And that still kind of bugs me a little bit because I'm like, it was multiple choice. You didn't try hard enough. You don't have to try that hard to get the right answer in multiple choice. Like, but anyway. Then
it could be one of those where it was full of, like, trick questions.
Oh.
So he just, like, reads the first one, is like, yeah, that's right, fills in the bubble.
Okay.
And then didn't look for the more specific answer.
This makes
sense. It wasn't the rightest.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
You had a right answer, but it wasn't the most right. Yeah. So you're still wrong.
Yeah, I think I had a professor for intro to law that would do, like, give it like A, B, or C, and then like D would be A and B, yeah. And then E would be like D and C or whatever.
B, but without the last three words.
Yeah. So I had in one of my classes in college, you know, there was this professor, and I couldn't really understand the way he talked. Like, I couldn't understand his like methods. And so I tried to go to the textbook, which he also wrote. And I was
nice.
Like, oh, great. This is more of you. And so it was the only time. I was like, I'm just not going to get this class. It sounded really interesting, but you just can't teach or write. And so,
what was the class?
Oh, Biology of the Human Conscience.
Nice.
Doesn't that sound like a really cool class?
It does.
And it wasn't. It had potential, but he needed a book by someone else so that he could supplement his crazy. Or supplement his inability to properly present himself in his topics.
Mm-hmm.
But so it was the only time that I had a class where I was like, okay, so you know what? You seem like the type of person who's going to have some sort of method to your test. So if it was one of those things, like if it was A, B, C, you knew the answer was C. If it's all of the above, you know it's going to be all of the above. True, false was always true. And so I ended up getting an A in the class without learning a thing.
Except how to work the system.
But I felt a little dirty. I was like, I wanted to learn.
That's the best lesson of life, though.
What?
Work the system. Succeed.
Oh, man.
Slytherin.
Yes.
Oh,
it's true.
And then you want to hear what a jerk this guy was? He also went and he, in his textbook, he had like inserts that were homework that you had to rip out and turn in so you couldn't return the book.
Ooh.
Oh.
Yeah.
What a jerk.
Talk about shady.
That's kind of the same thing as, like, having a new edition, like, every year.
That's true. That's true. But when you have the new edition, at least you don't feel the money, like, slipping through your fingers,
yeah.
like, the first time you pull
yeah,
the page.
Every time you pull, yeah.
Because you, with the new edition, you have to actually go to the bookstore and have the bookstore clerk be like, eh, we're not taking those this year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whereas
yeah,
this
yeah,
one, you're,
so.
Like, ripping a physical page out, and you're like, oh, they're yeah. going to need that.
Oh, and it was like, an $80 book or something like that. Like, well,
to be fair, professors don't make that much.
Yeah. Professors don't make that much.
Well, you kind of have to either, like,
maybe the full-time ones do, but
yeah. The full-time ones do, yeah.
You kind of have to heavy into research or write books.
Oh, that's
or,
true.
Or, like, a combination of it.
Which probably
did. So he did make some.
He made a lot of money. He made a boatload, I have no doubt.
I won't defend him anymore.
Don't defend this man. Don't defend this man. But I appreciate you for trying, and it says so much about your character, and I value and love you for that. Oh, so back to our episode. So Rebecca's getting rid of, like, at her house, Rebecca's getting rid of her trash, Josh Chan stuff. And then the Chan ladies come in. Oh, my goodness.
Ooh. I'm sorry. Can we go back to the test? After he gets the C-, there's a song.
Oh, my goodness. The Could If I Wanted To song, which is, how could I forget that? Because that was one of the best songs. You know, like, whoop-de-freaking-do.
La-dee-da.
And I love it. I was listening it in my car on the way here because I like to listen to the songs from the episodes we talk about before we do it. And it's like, but I could, but I don't.
But I could if I wanted to.
Yes. Oh, it's so great. And then at the end, like, this guy sticks a sword down his throat. And he's like, I could do that if I wanted to.
Oh, it's so good.
And the woman standing next to him just, you're an idiot.
Yes. It's kind of an idiot thing to say.
It's really difficult watching those things and remembering being younger and having that mindset.
Oh, yeah.
Like, the, you know, going through those same experiences where, like, I was a slacker when I was younger, too. And so it's really relatable watching him go through all of that.
Yeah.
And remembering living through the whole experience of, oh, wow, I'm really under applying myself. I know that I could do things, you know, at a much better, like, level if I just applied myself. And then, like, the natural, the decision and the push to, like, start applying myself to things to start meeting, you know, higher expectations. It's, I don't know, it's a very relatable experience to
it
watch
is very
all
relatable.
Of that.
And it's such a perfectionist thing to do as well, where it's like, okay, well, I know I want things to be perfect about myself, but I know it's hard, and if I can't fail if I don't try.
Yes, then I can always have that fallback where it's like, well, it's because I didn't do it. You know, when I was in elementary school especially, I'd said I do have the could if I wanted to attitude about sports, not because I could do better, but I knew I couldn't. And I was like, well, I'll just tell people that I could do it better if I wanted to. and inside, even that, like, that was my first, like, facade that I tried to put on. I was like, I'm not good at sports, but you guys are stupid for, like, you know, I could do it if I wanted to.
Even until, like, very recently, I've been that way about science or STEM jobs or anything, because I, in high school, decided for some reason I wanted to be an artist. And you take, I was in, like, in AP classes and so forth, and except AP history I never took, but my history teacher thinks I did.
Ah.
So, like, I'm like, I got AP points just for, I don't know, being cool.
Well done.
But, like, at the same time,
working the system.
Yeah, I worked again, working the system to make it work for you. But I had to make a distinct choice probably around junior year, like, nah, I'm gonna follow art. Like, I'm gonna go take graphic design classes and I'm gonna do this other stuff, and there's only so much energy in the day.
Yeah.
And part of that is, I mean, part of it is I like art and I wanted to do it and I wanted to follow through on it. And part of it was just I have a cousin who's an astrophysicist and my brother's a computer programmer. And, like, I'm like, the two older people in my family were very smart. So I was like, ah,
that's a lot of pressure.
If I wanted to, I could be smart, but I don't want to. So, like, yeah, like you were saying, just, it's so relatable, Jim. And I totally agree. It's just 100% like, oh, that's me. That's me is. Well, I mean, is a teenager or no?
Yeah. We're pushed to specialize, too, in, you know, school environments. So
bad.
That choice to, that decision of I could if I wanted to is almost like a cultural thing telling you, like, you know, don't push yourself to apply yourself to the thing that isn't like a natural skill.
You chose what you wanted at the age of 7.
Exactly.
You can't change it now.
Yeah, yeah. Like, so
that whole nonsense.
Yeah.
Yes. No, it's true.
Something that kind of factors into it, too.
Which shows up in this show, too, with Rebecca and the theater arts throwing it back in.
Yeah. You know, there's a little bit of familial guilt that helps with that, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah. Oh, God, yeah.
Well, actually, that helps with everyone, right? Like, everyone has the guilt of, nope, you said you were going to be this when you were young.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
You always liked this. I always thought this.
And it's like, how do you know? I liked it once upon a time. I'm not allowed to grow. This box is running out of air.
So I recently got a new job, and it's a full-time job doing news photography, and it's great and awesome.
Woohoo!
Yeah, super cool.
Yeah,
and it's, I mean, it's been about a month in, like, in my life in terms of, like, oh, I got the offer and I've been going through the background checks, and I've been doing it for about 3 weeks. But for those, probably, well, even for the entire month, every time I see my mom or talk to my mom, I get this conversation that is, I've prayed for you for so long to get your life together. And it's, I mean, it's weird, but it's also really funny because it's like,
your brother is going to space.
Yeah, they're doing cool stuff, and I've been praying for so long that you would get your life together. And it's
just
like, wait
Kate
a minute,
Middleton's sister, your sister married royalty. What are you up to?
I'm just like, wait a minute. Like, I've been doing cool stuff all along, and like stuff that's like really interesting and exciting. And wait,
but they never see it.
Yeah, they never see it or accept it. It's just it's a different form of, I don't know.
Yeah, there's
success.
Yeah.
And then like it'll be like something too where one of the things I tried to explain was like, well, if I had gotten this job 10 years ago, I wouldn't have wanted it. Like it just wouldn't have done me any good. So and then it goes
you
back to –
You needed personal growth.
Yeah, so it goes back to personal growth and then just, well, I could if I wanted to. Like, yeah, I could have had it like 10 years ago. But like, also, I wouldn't have been ready for it. I wouldn't have wanted it. Like, the success wouldn't have meant anything at that point.
Yes. No, I agree. Like, the journey is so important. Where I'm at now, if I had been here 10 years ago, same thing. I never would have appreciated it. It just would have been life. And I would have just, like, been this lesser version of myself. You have to go through a bunch of crap to become, you know, like, your best self.
That's funny. I remember when I started improv classes.
Improv!
A few months in, I told one of my – he might have been a former teacher by that time. I said, I wish I'd found this place 10 years ago. But then I would like almost immediately, if not within the next like hour of having time to think about it, if it were a decade sooner, I would have been an absolute wreck in those classes. Just no like maturity, no ability and no life experience either to offer up to it. I mean, all of it, it takes a lot of personal development to get to wherever you end up at a point when you're
Well, and I say the same thing about improv too, where I'm like, if only I'd gotten here 10 years ago, because like I grew up in Podunk, Ohio. We don't have improv. Well, I'm sure somewhere they do, but mine didn't. And so I didn't find improv until a few years ago. I'm like, if I would have found you 10 years ago, I could have been so good.
Or you would have burned out and got sick of it and felt like you were no good, and then you would have
Thank you, Dream Ghost Dacopian.
The lessons keep on giving.
So back to this episode. Rachel's been in with the whole Josh Chan fam. He goes to book club with mom. He helped Philip pick out Jaima's engagement ring. He wrote she wrote that letter for Justinity to get into Harvard, but the letter was better than the application, but that's okay. Because she goes to Cal State Northridge, which is the Harvard of Northridge.
That joke keeps on giving.
Yeah. It does. Yes. Well, you got to do it in threes, right? Like, that's the magic rule. Mm-hmm. And so when the first two came up with the Harvard thing, I was like, where's number three? Where's number three coming from? Gotta have it.
And there's a number four towards the end.
There is a number four.
A four or five. Yeah. Well, it coming.
It does. This one's kind of like maybe 2B, you know, or a 3A or something like that. It's like half of one, but it's just beautiful. I liked it a lot. Rebecca's asked to be a bridesmaid. And she's like, I've grown as a person, you guys. I can't be a bridesmaid. And Paul's like, what do you mean you can't be a bridesmaid? And she's like, well, okay, fine. I can be a bridesmaid, but V has to be one too. V for Valencia. Mm-hmm. And so they're like, okay, you both can be bridesmaids. And I'm like, how do you just add two people onto your wedding? I mean, good for you, but craziness.
Well, she's been waiting like 9 years.
That's right. She can have nine people.
She can have whatever she wants at this wedding.
Yeah.
Also, they made it like a joke, or they mentioned the diamond being like this giant, like crazy diamond. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah.
And the Chans have a huge family. Like, there are males in reserve if the bridesmaids
alternates.
Get to be too much.
Yes. If you're not the right height, you move to alternate.
I did love that one off about how Rebecca is the perfect height for the guy who was supposed to or stopped growing because he became a gymnast.
Yes. Yeah.
And then like later there's a gymnast joke in the next episode.
Oh my goodness, you're right. I didn't even think about that. Got a thing about gymnasts.
I love pairing these episodes, especially for the podcast, because you see stuff like that. Like the writers are clearly like on they'll be on one page and then you just throw those callbacks in for a couple episodes and it's so fun.
Well, and it's so funny. Like, I feel like the episodes that we choose to do together, because like 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Mm-hmm. I mean, they pair up really nicely. And like this one, both had the gymnasts and a bunch of stuff. But I mean, it's kind of cool the way it just worked out. Mm-hmm. But yeah, okay. And then now we're at Country Market, which has a pharmacy and American Federal Credit Union, so very important. And there's this clerk worker who remembers Greg from Spiders. We find out later why he remembers, because he went to Harvard. So,
and his name is Marty.
Which I had to comment. Yeah.
So, oh, yeah. I wrote down the other grocery clerk's name.
Yeah.
Allie.
Well, Allie, and what's the other guy's name?
Brody.
Brody. Oh. So we have this love triangle between Marty, who dusts potatoes, Allie, who quit a Whole Foods manager position to track after Brody, who has half an eyelid, grocery clerk with half an eyelid.
That guy.
And then he can also, like, do cartwheels and magic tricks and all the sexy stuff the ladies like. So... But yeah, so Greg sees Marty all into Allie, and he's like, she's cute. And Marty's all like, oh, we're friends now? I don't know your rules. Oh, okay.
Yeah, and Greg was kind of mean to him initially, like ordering him around, telling him to get coffee. Mm-hmm. And he was kind of mean to the bartender at the bar. So I think Greg's a mean drunk.
He's a sourpuss.
He's just, he's a mean drunk. He had to get his coffee in him.
Or if you ask him, he's not a sourpuss. He's pensive and deep.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like he's like that dog that comes up to you and then bites you. And then immediately after is like, we're friends now. Let me lick the wound and cuddle in your lap. And
so like a small dog.
Like a small yippy dog. That's what Greg is.
That's our cat, Cheech. He'll bite me and purr at the same time. He takes Jim a little bit more seriously. But me, I'm like another cat for him to beat on.
So that's Greg's middle name, right? Gregory Cheech Serrano. Yes. We figured it out. GCS. Going back to Greg's kind of like decided to be this dude's mentor. Mm-hmm. And then we're at the wedding dress shopping and Valencia's going to show up, but she's late. And so the girls are like, oh, she just has to make an entrance. And Rebecca's like, no, that's not true. And then Valencia shows up with like extensions in her hair and wings and like all of this craziness. She's like, I just got pictures taken for Hometown Hotties.
Mm-hmm. Maxim hometown hotties.
Maxim hometown hotties.
Looks like she just stepped
off
of like the Victoria's Secret Angels runway.
Yes, yeah. So like, so let's try on some dresses. But yeah, and so Valencia approaches Rebecca, and she's all like, "Hi," and is all like, "I want you to know that if it were any other situation, I'd take off my earrings, my extensions, and my wings, and I'd curb stomp you."
Great quote. Also wrote it down.
Yes, because that one is beautiful, and she says it with a smile, just like any pretty girl would. And Rebecca's like, "Oh, okay. Well, we're going to be friends now. I'm going to make you look good. Mm-hmm. I promise. Okay, bye." And so, you know.
Yeah. Well, the whole subtext of this episode, or like Rebecca's whole thing, is she's trying to be a better person.
Yes.
So every single interaction she has, she's trying to take the high road.
Yeah.
And this is like a great case of that.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, Valencia also, you know, is handling things pretty well. Like, instead of thinking about herself, she's thinking about the bride. Mm. Not all the way, because she showed up looking like a hottie with wings on her, but she,
In white.
Oh, she's in all white. I didn't think about that. Craziness.
And she finally got a small taste of what it might be like to have the chin woman like her to an extent.
Yes.
Too.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, that was a big thing because what Rebecca did was like Valencia does the whole thing where she says these mean girl comments and maybe she doesn't even know. Maybe that is the thing with her. Mm-hmm. Maybe I'm liking her a little bit better because she just might not know. But she talks about how Rebecca wouldn't look good in one of the dresses. You know, like everyone will look good in this, and Valencia's like, well, not everyone. And Rebecca, because she's trying to be this better person, she's like, nope. It's true. Valencia knows. Tell them about my night bagels.
I ate them with butter and cream cheese and bacon.
Yeah. SLY guys. So,
Actually, I think the first one, she's like, let me, she's like, that dress is great, except this Festival of Back Fat.
Yeah. Yes!
Which is like such a gross, beautiful image.
But yeah, Festival of Back Fat. And then the other one after it was this will cover my nipples. Yeah. This will just about cover my nipples, you guys.
But well, yeah. That's the other line she said too is like, I won't just... Valencia asks Rebecca to make her not look bad in front of the chance.
Yeah.
And Rebecca takes that as, I will do you one better. I will make you look good.
Yeah, she's serious about this redemption, at least for 1 hour.
Yeah, so. She's trying to break a pattern for, like, this is her second instance of trying to be a better person in the series so far.
Yeah. Yeah, they come around every few episodes, and this is one of them. So,
yeah. Well, you know, it's hard work to be better all the time. Sometimes you just got to take it in doses, just like exercise. If you do it once a month, it still counts. So,
and then you can work up to twice a month, and then three times a month,
or you can just keep doing it once a month.
That.
And it'll be like, you know.
And as long as you don't hashtag Fitspo, you're fine.
All of my hashtags are real positive, you guys. Like hashtag Fitspo. But yeah, so, and Rebecca like takes everything Valencia says and, you know, like, oh, let's get different styles, but the same color. And Rebecca's like, yeah, that's a great idea. And, at one point, Valencia even says, like, you're not that disgustingly fat. And Rebecca's like, aw, thank you, Valencia.
That's actually a compliment from you.
That's a compliment, yes. You're right. I'm not totally. Not every ounce of my body is disgustingly fat. Thanks. But yeah, and so then we go back to the office, and Paula, what have we said about standing places quietly waiting for people? Sorry, I forgot. Paula's doing the thing where she's like, okay, so we're going to get some poison ivy and we're going to like put on the, we're going to have a Rashy Nips Instant Classic. And Rebecca's like, no, we're going to be normal people. It'll be fine. And so then they go back to, so we're going back to the store, and Greg is like, she doesn't like you. She's shown no interest. She's way into someone else. Why give up now? And so, the clerk, ends up singing a song, Clean Up on Aisle 4. Which not a real cleanup.
I'm pretty sure Greg wrote that song.
Yes. He's mouthing along.
Yeah.
Yes.
See? Pretty sure.
Greg, he's trying.
And he's not taking his own advice from the previous two episodes, which was like imitating romantic comedies is idiotic.
Oh.
Oh, very good point.
You know what? This is, therapy would say that this is one of those things that you're not able to stop the patterns when you're in them because you can't fully see yourself for the reflection necessary. So,
because your frontal cortex isn't fully developed.
Well, your prefrontal cortex, his is probably developed, though it is stunted a little bit by his levels of alcohol. But no, like he can't see he's in a pattern. It's like the mouse who's on a giant like mouse wheel. I don't know what you call those things.
Hamster wheel.
Yeah, and he's all like, the world is crashing down upon me because he hasn't looked to the right or left. And he's like, oh my God, I'm on a hamster wheel. That's what they're called.
Yeah.
But
also he's doing that thing where like if your life is crap in so many other ways, it's easy to look at romance as a way to fix it, which is, you know, what Rebecca's doing.
Mm-hmm.
But then he kind of realizes with school he gets a C-, I'm not trying hard, I need to try harder. And instead of applying that to school right away, he applies it to like this guy's grocery clerk's romance.
You could if you wanted to, and we're gonna make it happen.
Yeah. He's kind of doing a Paula, which is interfering in someone else's life.
Ooh,
I can't have it, but I'll help somebody else.
By golly, you're going to have it. Yeah. You're going to like it.
But he's
now
not
sing this song.
Not nearly as good as Paula.
I need to prove that it's possible for somebody who has no interest in somebody else will suddenly like flip if there's one grand romantic gesture that, you know, changes.
But she could.
Yeah.
But she doesn't. But she could if she wanted to. Exactly. So, we go back to the office then. Oh, wait. So after the song, like in the middle of Clean Up on Aisle 4 song, the guy's like, look at my body. Brody is. And he does like these cartwheels, which cartwheels really aren't that impressive. Come on, people. I mean, they're fine. They're nice. But I can do cartwheels.
Oh, no. See, after a certain age, they get impressive.
Oh, do they? Now, I have heard of people like, I heard of this one woman who was in her 50s, like a friend of the family, and she did a cartwheel because, you know, she used to be a cheerleader, and she ended up like doing something to her hamstring.
Oh God.
Like something serious. I think she was like,
and then
hospitalized and like not the ACL but something kind of like the ACL where she had to have surgery, and it was like a long recovery, and it's like, ow, well, I better just keep doing them every few months when I get drunk and then it'll be fine.
But it's such a drunk thing to do. To be
it
like,
really is.
I'm going to do a cartwheel, or you can do one, I'll do one.
Yes.
Oh, that one was okay, but maybe I can do better.
Oh, yeah. Or like one time I went to this theater that I do improv at sometimes, and I had gone there for practice and it was empty and they had moved all the tables and chairs off to the side. I'm like, this is cartwheel instant. Don't care that I'm wearing a skirt. You guys look the other way if you don't want to see it because it's happening. But
Can't turn that opportunity down.
I said I had black tights on. It was fine. But oh, back to the episode. Okay, so now, you know, there's a text when Rebecca's at work, and it's 411. She means 911. And so they go. She goes to the dress shop, and she's like, what's going on? And it turns out that the dress is done early, and the wedding dress. Woo! And so they have champagne. Valencia has been practicing her humor. She even watched an online tutorial. Because that's how you learn to be funny.
This is why I like her.
I know! Oh, it was so serious, but she was so genuine about it. Mm-hmm. She's growing on me a little bit. Yeah. I mean,
she's got a lot of defenses, but underneath that all, there's a little bit of a Daryl thing where she just wants to be accepted.
Yeah, that is true. Yeah, that is true.
And it comes across as so sweet in moments.
In moments. Yes.
Between her being totally evil.
It's like going down to, you know, to your favorite restaurant like once a month or something like that, and you see a horrible painting on the wall and you're like, that painting is just disgusting. I hate that painting. And then you see it enough times where you're like, okay, well, actually, it's not that bad. There are these parts about it that are just kind of cool. Mm-hmm. And then at one point you're like, man, I actually like that painting. I'd take it home if I could. And that's what Valencia's like to me. Like,
you'll eventually take her home.
I'll eventually take her home, put her on my wall and be like, you're not so bad. I kind of like you. We've had a lot of memories together. The dress, they have to, Valencia and Rebecca stay to make sure the dress doesn't have any wrinkles, no bubbles, because the rest of the party has to go check out cakes and stuff like that. And so Valencia puts on, or Rebecca puts on the dress to show Valencia what it's like to have a big rack. And she's like, oh, look at how big these are. And then comes one of the best and most painful songs, the Heavy Boob song. Oh, my goodness. We had a chain of messages going today talking about this song, because it's like, we all are kind of endowed ladies. Mm-hmm. And we were like, that's really painful. And I'm like, yeah. I want to hand them bags of ice and tell them it'll be okay.
Sports bra.
Yeah, put on a sports bra. It's just, they're in the video, they're like flapping their boobs like hardcore. And I get it's for the song, but it's just, if you've ever had that happen to you, it's so painful.
And the dancers are not wearing bras, or at least not supportive ones.
Yeah.
It even hurts me. And I have no reason to have, like, understand.
Good for
why
you,
that
though.
Hurt.
That's empathy. Yeah. We appreciate you. Yeah, that's painful. Ah. And you were saying that, like, Rachel Bloom did something for the dancers afterwards.
Yeah,
right?
She felt so bad. She paid for them all to get massages.
Titty massages?
That same.
Titty massages?
Yeah, I'd be like, don't touch.
I don't know.
Leave me with my bags of ice.
I'd be like, touch it. Just make it feel better. Like, do what you gotta do. These ladies hurt. They're not supposed to protect. They're not wings. They're not supposed to flap.
But the same interview that I read or saw, I was talking about, like, they didn't wear bras. Like, that's... Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's actual.
That's how they get flopping.
Yeah, I think there was one I watched where she's like, I didn't even know if it was going to work. So I had to make my choreographer, like, try to hit me in the face with her boob before I tried to hit someone in the face with my boob. Because that's one of the moves.
Oh, my goodness. I love it. Here is a list of all of the objects can hold.
Before we get to this point.
Yes.
So it was, like, right before this started. Right before this started, I sent you guys a video. It is a...
I know, like, I was in the YouTube, car, I can watch it.
It was a YouTube Reacts video, but it's like a 12-year-old girl reacting to this song.
Oh!
And it's the cutest thing.
Aww.
Because she's just like, what? 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 And, like, this list was so confusing to her. She's like, underboob? What? I was like, oh, sweetie, I can't wait till you learn.
And all about the underboob.
That list comes from Rachel Bloom actually tucking objects under her breasts.
Oh, my!
She's actually done this?
Yes.
Yes. This woman, I love her more every day.
She's so good.
She's not like the painting of Valencia. I knew she was pretty from the start.
And then she keeps giving me more reason.
She just gives me more reason. That's like having a painting and then being like, oh, did you hear that this painting is also made of gold? Holy crap! I like it even more.
So let's hear this full list of things Rachel Bloom has fit under her boobs.
You want to hear it like me?
Yeah.
Oh,
because you have it written down.
How'd you know I had it written down? I was being so skeptic and stuff.
So modest.
Okay. I am the picture of modesty. Here is a list of all of the objects that I can hold under my boobs, stapler, 10 pencils, paperback copy of Arabian Nights, dog bone, remote control, hardback copy of Wuthering Heights.
Oh, so good.
It's so good.
And then her boobs have memoirs.
Yes. Yeah.
Large and in charge and slightly larger or smaller and in charge.
And there's a point where she unsnaps her bra and a bunch of candy and pennies fall out. Yes.
And everyone acts like it's a pinata and like screams and
candy,
runs.
Candy, pennies.
And then there's two points in the rest of the episode where she pulls candy out of her bra.
Yes, which I think is very well done. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But, you know, and that's also another true thing. You wear a low-cut top. At the end of the night, you're just like, oh, my God, how'd that get in there?
It's a bunch of crumbs.
That's what I didn't even notice. Yeah.
Mostly crumbs, popcorn.
I used to work with a woman who she always wore like those leggings, you know, like the just the black leggings. But she was really well endowed, like big. And so what she would do is she'd just be like, oh, I just, you know, she'd tuck her phone into her bra and then pull it out and be like, doesn't it get sweaty? Like, but yeah, so that was her thing. She's like, I don't even have it for pockets. That's what these ladies are for. And I was like, well, you know, you're right. You're right. It's a little uncomfortable for me. I can feel it. But if it works for you, if you've desensitized the ladies and you've told them that they're on purse duty and they're fine with it, then go for it.
Okay, purse duty is great. I mean, I put a lot of cash in my bra usually, so that's the safest place, I assume.
Bonnie, Clyde, you just know that this is what's happening.
Warm some cold food.
Oh, yeah. You need to. You could. Just make sure it's in the proper container.
All, so
you
don't want it to. I'm throwing out ideas.
So. You could. Well, it's just like they used
to store my sandwich for me.
Yes.
Oh, my sub is cold. Oh. Will you warm this up?
Yeah. Angela, I was nice enough to cut it in half so you'll be even on both sides. But it's just like, you know how they used to have like they'd have all these jokes, or I remember it in shows in the 80s where they'd be like, oh, you can make this grilled cheese on the radiator. You can make the grilled cheese on your boobs.
Probably could.
Just heat it for a few hours.
Especially if it's like Kraft American cheese. But it wouldn't be worth eating.
It would not be worth eating.
Tenderize some chicken or something.
That that would really work. I actually kind of held them a little bit in that moment because I was like, yeah, you could tenderize stuff.
Sounds painful. Yeah, you could do it.
Well, it depends. Like sometimes there are desks that just kind of like, I'm also a shorter person, and so they just kind of, like, come right up to the bottom. I'm like, yeah, you'd be great for tenderizing.
Yeah, you're at the restaurant, and it's kind of a tall table with stools. It's usually, like,
mid-level. People don't understand. If you do not have yourself a set of these ladies, sometimes it's really hard. Certain things that should be simple are not simple. Like even lifting boxes.
Oh, lifting boxes is the worst.
It's so hard because you can't really lift them the proper way because you're already holding it out and then up. Mm-hmm. You know, like, yeah, you can't hold it against yourself.
But sometimes you can use your boobs for leverage.
Mm-hmm. It's counterbalance.
In social situations? Or?
Yes.
As a bribe, yes.
They do work as a... Oh, man. So here's another thing that I noticed. I had a conversation at one point this week with a woman who did not have very big boobs. She was she's a very fit woman. She's gorgeous. But she has a smaller rack. And I was wearing a very low-cut shirt. And I didn't think about it that day. But I was, like, sitting and she was standing and she looks at me. And she has, like, that bug-eye look where she's, like, looking at my eyes very intently. And at one point I'm like, oh, honey, you're trying not to look at my boobs, are you?
Yeah.
This is what you're doing right now. I know they're there. And they're
no perky. One ever makes this much eye contact.
No. Yeah, well, you can kind of tell with people, like, both genders, but, you know, when someone is trying really hard not to look at your boobs, their eyes just get a little bit strained. Like, there's effort involved right now. I'm trying so hard to be polite, but I just want to see them. Do they touch? Are those real boobs? Like, do you have the little boob fat on the side? I'm just, I don't know. I don't want to know.
Lots of questions.
Oh, so back to the episode. We had an episode. Oh, yeah. A star that is a red giant transforms into a dense white dwarf. And dense white dwarfs, that's like my boobs. So that was the thing, too.
That was a good breakdown.
They're just sexy yellow fat.
Technically meant to feed a baby.
They're just sexy yellow fat.
I think that's all I remember.
No.
There's a lot.
It was
each boob is, as big as a toddler's head.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
So hey, many
guys.
So many good lines.
Yes, and then Melissa's like, "Oh, so that's why I don't have boobs, because I don't have any fat on my body." Mm-hmm. And Rebecca's like, "Yeah, yeah, okay." So anyway. Valencia tries on the wedding dress, too, because Rebecca's like, let's see this with some B-cup action. And she tries on the dress, and Valencia looks gorgeous in it. Like, she... Mm-hmm. It was like it was meant for her, and she's in one of those bridal magazines. Mm-hmm. And she asks Rebecca to take a picture, and Rebecca's like, yeah, we'll take a picture. We're bonding. And mm-hmm. Valencia's like, it's just for me. But they didn't know, bum, 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 that Paula's on the other end, and she happens to hack into Valencia's account because Valencia has a super easy password of Valencia 1, which makes a lot of sense for Valencia. Mm-hmm. She seems like something she'd do. right? Yeah. But so she goes in and she hacks and she sees the photo stream, and in, you know, the photo uploads onto there. And so Paula posts it to Instagram. Valencia gets a like at the same time that the Chan ladies come and they're like, you ruined my wedding. And Valencia's like, I didn't mean to. I didn't do it. Rebecca did it. This is why girls don't go to the bathroom alone.
And feminism in action.
That's right. Yeah. And so Rebecca is like, she takes the higher ground. She's like, yep, I did it.
And also, you can't explain that. Like, you can't explain what really happened. Yeah. It's like, okay, this time I didn't do it. But, you know, I mean, all the other times,
but
like me and Paula teamed up
months,
and took you down.
What we've been doing is... Yeah.
If you were looking at the overall track record of me, there's a lot of times when I could have said yes. Just because this time I said no, the other half of me still says yes. But yeah, so...
Yeah, she's being mature.
She's being mature. And, you know, she... So the family, the Chan family, kind of takes Valencia under their wing, which is really great. Rebecca's out of the wedding. She didn't want to be in the first place. That's fine. Mm-hmm. Oh, and Valencia, she only uses really, hashtags that are very positive, like Girl Boss and Fitzbo.
That's true. I love that line.
I know.
I think there's another one mentioned. I don't know if it's before or after this episode, where it's like hashtag hydrate. Like, she...
Yes!
Valencia does only use positive hashtags.
Mm-hmm. Hashtag buy box water.
Yes.
It is better.
Oh, and then we're back at the grocery store. Greg confronts Allie, and she's like, can I help you? And he's like, yes, you can, by helping yourself. Stop chasing after the cartwheeling magician idiot boy and start paying attention to the guy with the bountiful, beautiful hair that happens to really care about you. And she's like, I already told him I'm not interested. You know, this is not making him more attractive by running after me. And then in that moment, the light bulb goes on in Greg's head, and he's like, oh, you're not saying try harder when you say no? And so... The guys drink some beer in the actual grocery store, in the booze section.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
You know, and Greg's like, Marty, you gotta let her go. Yeah. She's like a butterfly. If she comes back, then you guys are meant to be. But you gotta let her fly. He doesn't say it like that.
Yeah.
And he
acts like he's a little wiser.
A little bit, yeah. Rebecca then confronts Paula, and she's all like, hey, what do you think you're doing? And Paula's like, you always tell me no. I never listen. Why would I listen this time? Mm-hmm. And Rebecca's like, but I mean it this time. And Paula's like, but we'll never be friends again.
Which is so sweet. And we have a clip of her saying that.
Yes, let's hear it.
Yeah, we should hear that because it is so sweet.
It is.
Or sad. Probably sad.
It's a mixture of the two, but we've been there. You've had the thing where you're like, this is what we do as friends, and if you don't do it, then we won't be friends anymore. I mean, we will be friends, but only Facebook friends, and I want more. Right?
Yeah.
I can't give up on Josh.
He's not yours to give up on. Why are you so hung up on this?
It's for you. It's to make you happy.
No, it's not, because
it's because... If we're not chasing Josh, then you're not going to want to hang out with me anymore. I know it.
Oh, honey. Give her a hug, Rebecca. Which she didn't.
She didn't.
Well, you know, they just kind of argued about how, oh, we'll be friends. We'll be friends for sure. But she should have just given her a hug.
Yeah, she should have taken Mark out of the one bartender dude's book and been like, two arms, no waiting. It's okay, Paula. Just put your head on this very large bosom. Everything will be okay. That's all she had to say.
All she had to say.
But so then, Rebecca tries to have a drink with Greg, and he's like, no, I want to be healthy too, and you're not healthy for me. And so Rebecca's like, fine. And so she goes back home, and Josh shows up, and he's like, what are you doing? And Rebecca's like, look, Valencia's loved by your family. I'm out of the wedding. Go pay attention to other people. I'm healthy now. I am the picture of health. Michelle Obama, who was president at the time of this episode, should put me on that healthy plate. That's how healthy I am.
I mean, first lady, but she should have been president.
She should have.
Or she should be in the future.
Oh, yes. This is an endorsement. Please be our president. That, you know how cool it would be?
It would be super cool.
Side note, but still, really cool. And then have Barack Obama be like a past president, but also the first gentleman. Like, that would be really cool. Anyway, just had a moment there. But Rebecca then decides that, she even gets rid of Channy Bear. So she's serious. And then she goes and she finds Greg and she kisses him. And he's like, I can't be your dusty potato. And she's like, I just ate a french fry before. What do you mean?
Also so relatable.
Yes. Very much so. And then Rebecca's like, no, I want you. And Greg's like, well, okay, but you need to know that if you want me, we need to have like 3 days of you and me just ruining each other. And now emotionally, and Rebecca's like, cool, when do we start?
Now.
Now.
That was like the sexiest thing.
That was that line I wrote down because I think it's one of the sexiest things I've ever heard on television.
So, yeah. Yes. I agree.
This isn't going to be a roll in the hay and you go home. This is going to be like 3 days of you and me just ruining each other.
Don't we all want one of those like 3 day weekends of just getting ruined?
Especially if you were on Team Greg, like this entire time, you're like,
I was
oh,
on
yeah.
Team Greg.
Oh, yeah.
I was totally, I was like, yes!
It's so good.
You guys don't come out until you have no energy left and you need Chinese food. And you'll be hungry again in half an hour, so it doesn't really count.
It's Chinese food. Yeah.
And there plays at the end the Settle For Me instrumental.
Oh,
reprise,
yeah.
Which is not ominous at all.
No, not at all. This isn't what's happening. They're not settling right now.
No.
Like their moment of being healthy or
no,
whatever.
They're not settling. They're going to be they're happy, you guys.
They're making healthy choices.
I want them to be happy. They'd be so good together. Oh, and then Allie goes on a date with Brody. Mm-hmm. He calls her Ashley. And she's like, it's Allie. And he's like, I don't care. Can we have sex now? Yay! I'm like, how did anyone ever find this man attractive? Yay!
Well, yeah, in the way earlier in the series, there's the party at Rebecca's house. And this guy's being a jerk to Daryl at the party.
Yeah,
I'm
like,
we knew he
up early.
Yeah.
They did. They set him up early. But, and I like how there was that moment how Allie was just like Rebecca, and she's like, why do I do this? I choose the lowest man because I'm afraid I might actually connect with a non-cartwheel man.
Didn't get it.
Yeah, she has this complete, like, epiphany about her life. And
yeah. Going back to nursing school. Yeah. Oh, sorry. Yeah. Good for her. Good for you, Allie.
Love it.
I hope you got all A's.
I love whenever the show does this, too, because, like, in case you don't see it in Rebecca or Greg or Josh, because, like, you're all caught up in the character or the romance or this girl's so crazy, like, what the hell is her problem? You have, like, a secondary, thirdary, like, or tertiary character just saying something offhand that says the exact same themes, the exact same arcs these characters are going through. So then it's like, okay, if you didn't get it because you were emotionally invested, maybe you'll get it.
Yeah.
Like, as the episode tags out and, like, we're recapping.
Yeah.
Or we'll get it when Daryl says it, or we'll get it when we get so much with Daryl.
We'll do it so quick and immediately that it's, like, that much more, you know, apparent instead of kind of a slower.
And you still might miss it, but it's always there. There's, like, no argument, like, oh, this show, like, didn't make any sense. Like, no, it made a lot of sense if you're paying attention.
Yeah. Were you paying attention or were you playing Candy Crush during the actual episodes? I know that was
possible.
The game from like 6 years ago. I don't know if people play now. So
I still might play that.
What, those youngins?
It was probably popular around the time that show aired, right?
Like,
this
like 2 years ago, 3 years ago?
Roughly.
Yeah, 2 years ago.
I just picked it up. I picked it up like a month ago.
Nice.
Yeah. I got to make sure that it's dead everywhere else before I pick up.
Before you get in on the action.
Before I get in on the action. Yep.
You're just letting everybody else test it out for you.
That's
and then
right.
When they get it good, then you'll.
That's right. You know, I like to let things sit for a while, you know, possibly like 10 years. And then I'm like, oh, I think I will play that
game. All the bugs and flaws have been worked out.
Yeah, exactly. It has really good like images and
well tested.
Yeah. And I have enough self control that when it's like you're out of lives, pay some money to get more lives, that I'm like, no, I'm a bigger person now. Mm-hmm. I can wait. I'll just wait it out. I'll play something else. Or
you just weren't ready 10 years ago.
I wasn't ready 10 years ago. I'd lose all my money.
Now you're good.
Now I'm good.
You don't have like the impulsive competitiveness driven by like a million other people playing it around.
Yes,
you,
true. That, like, exactly.
I see what yeah. I can get.
What level are you on?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you only got 2 stars, loser.
Man,
exactly. And now whenever I run out of lives or anything like that, I'm like, I should probably stop anyway. This is the world telling me that I've spent too long
on Candy Crush.
On Candy Crush for the day.
I love it. Let's go right into the next episode. Keep the episode talk going.
Okay.
That sounds really bitchy. It's not.
Oh, no.
Just talk. Just shut it off for tangent.
I'll say, if we don't do this, I'll start talking about Farmville, and we don't want to go down that rabbit hole.
Oh, Farmville. Yeah, we do.
All right. So anyway, episode 17. Episode 17 is...
Wanted again.
Why is Josh so mad?
Why is Josh in a bad mood?
Ooh, yeah.
That's right.
All right, so A plot line, Rebecca and Josh are sleeping together. No,
nope.
Rebecca and Greg.
Yes.
they're interchangeable to me.
Oh!
Poor guys.
Okay.
Josh, Team Greg, you're both screwed.
And I guess the 8.5 plot line to that is Rebecca has a UTI, which may sound like a minor thing if you're a man, but yeah. It is not.
It is quite painful.
It is definitely not.
I guess the B plot is Josh is B in a bad mood. And
he be in a bad mood?
Josh is be in a bad mood. I'm quoting that as
not. No, I know. It's just so great because then you made it the B line and I was like, be in a bad mood.
And C plot is Paula is in a pie baking contest.
Yes. But she always gets like second place.
Yes. Maybe this year things will change.
Do you think so?
I think UTIs are good luck.
UTIs are good luck, except if, you know, you're trying not to beat yourself. That is the name of the
episode.
So good.
Okay, so cold open. You have a black screen. Says 3 days later, Rebecca and Greg are playing word games in their sex cocoon. Rebecca wants to talk. Greg is suppressing and is trying to be casual. And Greg says at one point, "You're so pretty. It's so cool that I get to say that to you now that I'm not all obsessed, you know," which is just like
so sad.
It was sad. And
it's so frustrating.
Like, yeah, and it's also points out like, oh, okay, you knew what you were doing when you were saying all this body-shaming shit earlier.
That's right. Yeah. I was so mad about all that.
Yes, but like, if you actually wanted the girl to like you, why wouldn't you say the nice things as opposed to being a tool bag?
Or if you're angry, about, you know, if you're angry that she likes your friend, just keep your mouth shut about her body.
Yes. Yeah. Or use those I feel statements. I don't like it when you go after my friend Josh. It makes me feel... all hurt and broken inside. Yes.
Not everybody is taught that level of like evolved thinking.
Well, they do it in kindergarten. Let them spend a week there. But you're right. It's true. Not everyone has it. But I like the idea of all of a sudden in the middle of an episode, I need you to la la la.
To respect my need for.
And stop flaunting those sexy boobs. For my friend Josh.
Okay, back at White Feather.
He doesn't even like craft beer.
No craft beer. Okay, so back at White Feather, Paula tells Rebecca that she has a glowy glow. She's starting to catch on, although she hasn't caught on completely yet.
That glowy glow's infection.
It could be.
She's got a Greg-fection.
And Paul... And Paul is depressed / bored because the topic of Josh has been banned. Daryl enters. We hear about the pie contest. And Daryl makes a stand when they try to kick him out to talk about, I don't know, the pie contest or something. He's like, yeah, well, you know what? This is my office. I pay for you guys to be here. And then pause. I think I've made my point. And then he leaves.
Good for you, Daryl.
Yeah.
You showed them.
You know where you stand, Daryl.
So they have a new mission with the pie contest, and Paula's not. She's kind of skeptical. She's like, another truth bomb. This is like when Scott and I decided to have that second kid.
Oh no!
It's a deep statement, too, to just be thrown around. Like, oh, it's like a pie contest. Like, no.
And there's not another word about it.
No. Where do you go from there? There's nowhere you can go. That's like a landmine in every direction. You're like, I better just sit here until they all go away.
Luckily, Rebecca receives a text from Greg.
Oh, there it is.
Signaling for sex, and then she leaves. Mm-hmm. So they have sex in a public bathroom. Mm-hmm. And,
Rebecca, he has an app for that.
Yeah, it's an IBS app, but it works well for this.
I like the line of like, sorry, we can't go to my place. My dad's, you know, been living there for the last 25 years.
So Greg tells Rebecca to text him, and she's like, oh, I see. So you're the boss now. And Greg goes, yeah. So these sentences are telling because people are competing for power, perhaps where they shouldn't be.
I'm shocked. I thought this was healthy.
After all that healthy change, you're going to go compete for power?
They had like a full day of healthy, you guys.
So, three full days.
Yes, three full days. Ooh, well, this is, yeah.
I mean, besides the UTI, it's very healthy.
Yeah.
So back at Josh and Valencia's, Valencia's working on gift bags, and Josh is a little bit cranky, just unspecified cranky that has nothing to do with all these bags of wedding stuff around.
You think maybe it's as simple as like he just doesn't want to think about weddings. Like it's a weird topic for him and Valencia. Maybe that's why he's cranky.
Yeah. Or maybe he's feeling rejected from the lady who liked him that he'd never have to do anything with.
Or, yeah, well, after she kicked him out of this house. And
yeah, I think that's the thing is without that, like, also going on in his life, he's just back to having a relationship that he's been in for so long. Mm-hmm. And he's just disinterested, which is terrible. It's absolutely terrible.
It is, but he doesn't have his Band-Aid anymore. Yeah, he had a Band-Aid for it.
And according to my math, Rebecca kicking him out of the house is probably the first time he's been rejected by a woman or a girl.
Oh, poor baby. Oh, my God. That must be so hard.
Like, because he's been dating Valencia forever. Like, he has
And all these girls have been jonesing after him. And he's, like, taking up that extra, like, change, and he's bought himself a car with it. Like, it's just, like...
I don't have the Josh Chan magic anymore.
Yeah, exactly. Where did my mojo go? Aw.
Poor baby.
Oh,
somebody grown up said they don't want me to be around.
Everybody's supposed to love me.
Yeah. Aww. So at Paula's, Rebecca brings baking supplies, and Paula determines that Rebecca is having sex with someone. Huh? Oh, yeah, there's a lot of flour. And Rebecca has her underwear in her pocket hanging out for some reason. And Rebecca lies and
I
says
mean, we've
she's
all
not.
Been there, right?
I wish.
Oh. Yeah, see, that's what I was thinking. I'm like, I wish someone had caught me with underwear in my pocket.
I mean, no one's caught me, but we've all put underwear in our pocket before, right? To avoid UTIs.
Oh, my God.
That's the move.
Okay.
I didn't know this.
Usually it's in my purse, and I'm like, oh, wait. Or my car.
You can learn so much about health from listening to this podcast.
That's totally true.
You
I
just
thought
make
ladies
sure you pee right away.
There you go. Well,
that's
I thought
the main one.
That's it. But I thought
get
ladies just always put their like underwear in their purse because they happened to get dressed and forgot about it. Like I didn't know it was the thing.
Well, sometimes
you don't want to give an environment for the bacteria to grow because really it's bacterial.
Tell us more.
No, this is what I know from like anatomy classes that I took years ago. Uh-huh. It's a bacterial. You know, infection.
Oh.
So you don't give a dark environment for those bacteria to just, you know, keep doing what they do.
If you've been in a gross bathroom, screwing, you don't want to.
Yeah.
You don't want to wear those panties anymore.
Yeah, probably.
They're off limits.
Man.
Got to put them somewhere.
I'm learning so much about the world.
You can either
right
throw
now.
Them out in the, like, tampon container.
But those things are expensive.
But they're expensive usually, so you don't want to throw them out in there.
Unless you get, like, the pack of Hanes, and those are not your sex underwear.
No,
like,
you're not wearing those.
You're not going to wear those.
Or you're taking off your underwear pre-sex because they are your cotton underwear.
Because
I've done that move, too. Where you're wearing gross underwear, or not gross, but, like, not sexy. You're not expecting to have sex.
Yeah.
You stash them so it looks like you're not wearing underwear, which
and then
is
you're
so
sexy.
Much sexier.
Yeah. Ooh, you're a rebellious woman.
Or sometimes it was like you said, or similar to what you said, sometimes I've ended up with underwear in my car or my purse because I've put on like leggings or something.
Yeah.
And then it was like, what's this bulge? Like, oh. That's a thong. I got to take that out of there. Is it a growth of my calf?
I carry spare tissue with me. Just in case that.
Yeah, I just like, it's so funny because now, like, looking at all those like movies and stuff, I just thought it was always a case of, where's my underwear? Can't find it. Guess I have to get dressed. And they're like, oh, there it is. I'll just put it in my purse.
I mean, that makes sense too.
So Paul is okay with Rebecca getting laid, although Rebecca's denied it. Paul is okay with it as long as it's not Greg.
She's so quick to say that too. It's like she knows Rebecca so well.
But Rebecca's such a people pleaser. She has to lie then.
Well, and she doesn't want the confrontation either.
That's a good point. People pleaser goes really well with confrontation avoidant.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so back at Rebecca's, there's more sex stuff. Obscure sex metaphors. Rebecca has a UTI. The word capacious is brought up, and I wrote down the definition. Containing or capable of containing a great deal, larger in extent or capacity than the average, implies a greater size, expanse, or amount than deemed adequate.
That's an intentional word.
So we've learned details about Greg that maybe explain.
Mm-hmm. You go, boy! Yeah! And then it's not the size, it's how you use it.
Apparently he's good at both.
Well, good for him. We call that the bonus round.
And he's using it to give her a UTI. And there's the, I gave you a UTI.
He's so excited about it.
He's so excited.
Oh, crack.
I mean.
He's like, yeah, this means I'm badass. And she's like, no, it's just we've had a lot of sex. And he's like. It's bacteria.
It's just that I'm in pain. That's all.
Yeah. He's like, but you don't understand. My quivering member caused your pain.
This is a badge of honor.
It is.
No.
I'd wear it as a button if they had such a thing. I'd put, like, notches in a belt of how many times I gave a girl a UTI from having too much sex. And sometimes maybe she got a UTI a different way, but it doesn't matter. I'm going to count it as me.
But, you know, he's never done it that much. So it's all news to him. And so that's why he's very excited.
Because he lives with his dad. You're right. Mm-hmm. Nobody has that much sex when you're living with your daddy.
He's sad and insecure and depressed.
And that.
That's true, too. Yeah. Plus.
Plus that sad fact.
Plus the sad.
So Rebecca does the logical thing. She ignores her UTI.
All she needs are some crabby pills, you guys. That's it. When you feel like you're dying in your nether regions, obviously all you need is to ignore it and it'll go away.
I remember that Ocean Spray commercial from when I was a kid.
Just as good as antibiotics.
Basically the same. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So back at home base, Greg is cheerful and it's disgusting. Hector Hector says, do you have one of those brain tumors that changes your personality?
Oh,
can you play violin now?
Have you read Flowers for Algernon? Is this your story? I know that was sad.
It's good, but
it was a really good book. Well written.
I faintly remember it from middle school.
Oh, see, I did that thing where like they had a bunch of books that I didn't read in middle school, but everyone said they were reading. I'm like, I need to read you. Not because there's pressure, but because you seem like you'd be a good book. And Flowers for Algernon was one of them. Yeah. Like, that thing was really good.
I'm going to have to read that now.
Yeah.
Okay, so Heather and Josh are at another table. Heather's laughing at Josh because Josh says Valencia respects him. Rebecca enters. Rebecca and Greg are giving off all these flirty signals.
Mm-hmm.
Heather and Hector figure out that they're sleeping together at one point.
Because Hector knows everything. He is so evolved.
Oh, Hector.
Heather explains to Josh that copulation means sex.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
stupid Josh.
Oh, yeah. Honey.
And faced with this information that Rebecca and Greg are having sex, Josh gets mad and calls Heather a dumb face and then leaves.
Yeah, he's intense with his words.
So after that, we have two back and forth scenes in the storage room with Greg and Hector and at the bar with Rebecca and Heather. It's like a romantic comedy kind of sitcom-y setup where like the sets of friends are telling each other, well, like, oh, you have to get the power back, or, you know, this, this stuff.
Yeah, one of those stupid things.
That classic, don't text him, let him text you, power play.
I was never good at that, ever. I'd be like, 2 seconds, hi, how'd it go? How are you doing?
That stuff's not real. That's why you're not good at it.
Yeah. Oh, good, yeah, because, you know.
It's what fake people do.
Oh, yeah. I can't bottle my feelings. I'm just like, I gotta do emotions, feelings.
And probably the most important information that we get is that Heather has been in community college for 8 years.
Yes, that is very important.
I wonder how many majors she's had. You know, like, and what were they?
All of them.
All of them.
She's, I think at this time, is she doing coding?
Yeah. I think so. I think she's still doing it.
She's doing psychology.
Yeah.
And there was something about, like, a physical science class.
I'm sure she's been at least one music major.
Maybe.
I see as a music major. I see a business degree in there. Mm-hmm. Everyone has it.
I feel like that's the last one you hit, though. So maybe she hasn't hit it yet.
Mm. You're right. You go to business when you have nothing else, and you're like, crap. Mm-hmm. I just,
that's
I'm
my
out
truth.
Of luck. Exactly. Yep. Business or like communications,
right?
No.
I ended up in a business degree. Yeah.
This is a real
I
thing.
Did the same thing.
Tell us your story.
We've watched it in Crazy Ex-Girlfriend.
So you're Heather.
This
whole time you wanted to be Greg, but you were Heather.
I'm a bit of all of them. Wanted. I wouldn't say wanted.
We need to have
I would say I lived their lives, and now I watch it and like,
you're just like, that was me.
Rewatching my past, basically.
You guys, we need to come up with a Crazy Ex-Girlfriend test. Which character are you? I think we could do it really well.
We could, but I'm with Jim on that it changes.
Yeah, it does.
Well,
I mean,
true.
You show element. Yeah. I mean, okay. You can relate to a lot of their different life experiences.
Maybe it's like a pie chart.
Mm-hmm.
You can have percentages.
Like little Venn diagrams.
Yes.
Yeah.
We haven't done a chart in a while.
Maybe, we can make like a Trivial Pursuit game. You know, like, and it'll be Personality Pursuit. Like, what does this person does? It's like your personality.
Pick up pie pieces along the way.
Yes. In this situation, would you do this, 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 or this? Oh, good, you're Heather. Get a pie piece. Keep going.
I quit.
Greg! Oh, wait, no, that would be Heather. Yeah,
still Heather. Could be Greg.
Well, Greg quits other things.
Yeah.
Well, like his dreams.
Yeah, he just kind of doesn't apply himself.
Oh, you're right.
Can I explain the psychology of Greg?
Yes,
we don't
hear it.
No, go for it.
We don't have long enough.
Tell us all the things.
No,
we can start.
Yeah.
Give us a nice big start on this.
You don't start unless you take the first step.
He, as far, I mean, obviously his problems start when he was a kid with his mom leaving.
Mm-hmm.
And then he got a taste of something that he wanted in his life when he was accepted to Emory. And choosing to move back and take care of his dad because his dad had nobody
when he got sick. And because it was an easy cop out.
I don't think that's it.
No. I think it added to it.
His dad had nobody. Well, and his dad, and he reiterates throughout the show that his dad was the only one who's ever been there for him. He grew up with his dad. He didn't have a relationship with his mom.
That is true.
Which is, you know, from a kid's perspective, you don't understand the reasons that parents aren't around or things fall apart between them. Because my parents are divorced. And you develop certain resentments over things when you kind of start to analyze them. And so anyways, so I think that his insecurity, his anger, his sadness, they all stem from those life experiences where the one thing that he wanted for himself, he bowed out of or had to remove himself from for the sake of trying to be do what he felt was right and take care of his dad. And then he's also got this horrible kind of resentment toward probably women in general to some or at least relationships because of his mom and dad's relationship falling apart when he was young. That's a nutshell analysis of what I see, at least of his like psychological profile, I guess. Those traits and those like all that negativity, it all derives from
those two things.
Yeah,
and I think the only one I would add to into that like mess of like horrible issues is like he's the one that had to stay around for his dad because his dad was all alone, and I think he himself fears being all alone.
Yeah.
And so one good way to, like, if you fear something is to avoid even getting involved with it. So by not getting involved emotionally with anyone, yes. he can never be mm-hmm. left. He can never be alone exactly. because he was always yeah. alone. And he knows what that feels like. And that's familiar. Mm-hmm. And he never has to face the possibility that he could be left and he could, you know, get sick and have, you know, no one there to take care of him.
Yeah. And we could do this with all these characters. Oh, yeah. They all have, you know.
Which would be really, really fun and such a great bummer.
You guys, maybe if we're going to start that, I need to be wearing a pantsuit, okay?
So. Very powerful one.
Yes.
I need to wear sweatpants.
And glasses, really big glasses.
On a chain.
On a chain. Yeah.
Powerful. Yeah.
So after
I hold
this,
them to my yeah. face.
So after this bar stuff, we're at karate class. Josh has run to his outlet, and he's upset for some reason. Maybe it's this BS about Rebecca and Greg sleeping together, but whatever's going on, it's just easier for him to be angry. And I guess after...
And there's such a good song for it, too.
Yes. And after we play the clip, mm-hmm. I will give you my analysis of
the song. Awesome.
It's a bunch of small numbers.
Perfect. Because, yeah, it's not an official song on the episode, but it's a song and it's very good.
Yeah.
That's
feeling
the gist of it.
Bad.
There are 25 words in the song.
Okay.
Oh, he's used many more than he normally yes. does.
19 different words. Oh. And I'm counting feel and feelings as the same word.
Okay.
And unique words that are nouns and verbs, not pronouns, prepositions, adjectives, etc. 9.
Oh, no.
We have 9 nouns and verbs.
9 nouns and verbs. Oh, feelings honey. And people and...
So, oh, that is my statistical analysis of Angry Mad.
It's a very deep song that goes really, is really this, far.
Is this so, Josh's first song?
I don't.
He did. Think he did so. Like the West Covina reprise.
Mm, yeah. I have to. Does that almost count?
It.
This well, is his first solo.
Oh, there's yeah. that the four Josh Chan's one where he's like the yeah. boy band. Oh,
but he didn't really do that song. It was more Rebecca doing it for him, and she was yeah. like, "This is my boy band version of you."
But this is also strange then too, because if he's doing this song and Rebecca has no insight into like why are we seeing him singing and expressing himself in song when usually it's a fantasy of yeah. Rebecca's character.
Rebecca's condition is contagious.
Yes! Yeah. Yeah.
Well, that would be why.
He's just starting when you're in emotional stress. Yeah.
We think it's hereditary, but it's really viral.
It is. Oh, yes. I hope it's viral. We're all going to start singing.
He's got a Rebecca-nary tract infection.
Well, Paula even says, like, he's got your antigens in his mouth.
Oh. You have antibodies to
antibodies
saliva.
Antibodies in his saliva. Yeah, there's something.
Yeah.
viral markers to you in his body now that you've kissed him.
You guys have kissed and exchanged spit. And when you exchange spit, then your body attacks it, but in a way that makes it so that you won't get sick later on.
And or, it's also true love.
And that's true
that's
love.
That's how you catch true love.
That's how you catch true love. It goes straight to your heart and causes a deep infection.
Okay. So okay.
That's science.
We're at the bakery. Peggy Rose's bakery, the master pie, which Rebecca says espionage, which I like.
It's just so cheesy and adorable. And so I love good. It.
And Paula has a list of people that Rebecca could be sleeping with. At home base, Hector suggests Greg Greg goes out on a date to maintain the upper hand. Josh and Valencia's. Valencia's still working on the gift bags. Josh is returned home after the karate thing. He's still upset because karate songs don't relieve the pain of maybe Greg and Rebecca sleeping
but
together.
You don't understand, there are strong emotions here. Like, what is Josh supposed to do with these emotions? Well, he's been rejected.
Yes, completely.
You don't understand, this is a new thing for him.
Yes. And to quote Josh, Josh can be in a bad mood, and right now Josh is being a bad mood. And then after he declined sex from Valencia, Josh can turn down sex, and that's what he is be doing.
Major life development. Josh turned down sex.
Yeah, and he's so shocked because he's never turned it down before.
He's never had to turn it down, I guess. So.
I like all these little like growth moments of these younger people that you're seeing that, you know, it's I don't know, it's fun to watch them develop like this.
Yeah, because as silly as it is that he had to turn down sex, like everyone had to go through that step of like one day having to turn down sex for a personal or emotional or whatever reason.
Yeah, there's like an adolescent mindset where it's like, I'd never turn down sex. Sex, that's crazy. But you know, any time that I could, I would. Like you're just, you know, you're a dumb kid or something like that. But yeah, when you grow and you have more, say, I don't know, intelligence, you're just more susceptible to emotions, then you're going to be more realistic, I guess.
It's the coming of age no one talks about.
Yeah, right.
At the park, Josh and Father Bra are playing checkers, and Father Bra tells Josh he's acting like a little bitch.
I love Father Bra.
Yeah.
It's great.
I'd go to church if I could have Father Bra.
He would do a lot for the Catholic Church.
Oh,
if
man.
He were real.
He'd do a lot for like people in general. Like he has really good insights. He's a good guy.
And
what would Father Bra do?
Yeah. and he states these things in a down to earth manner that people can understand.
Yeah.
You know, he's not talking above Josh's head. Later on at Rebecca and Greg are having sex again because that's all they do. And then we have the song, Oh My God, I Think I Like You.
Oh, I love this song so much.
Which is like kind of, I guess, the horror song of the series so far.
Like the scary one?
The scary one.
Aw. But it's so great because it is that moment where you're just like kind of hanging out with someone. Well, and it's like, oh my God, I like you. Holy crap, what am I supposed to do now?
Yeah. It's kind of fun. It's fun to have a crush until it starts getting real. And then
you'll call me. No, I call you. Like I'll see you later. Okay, bye.
And that's fun for like, you know, 3 days, 3 weeks, and then you're like, oh, I need to actually know if this is
yes. And then you look at yourself and you're like, oh my God, what are you doing? Act like a person again. You're smart.
Yeah.
Priorities.
You can construct sentences that make sense and that are intelligent. You should do that right now.
So it's a good song too because they name drop oxytocin.
That made me so happy. My favorite happy chemical in the entire world.
Which, in case you're not following, it's the chemical that forms bonding among humans.
Yeah, it's chemical of trust, and there's a lot of it that comes out when a woman has a child, and it's just in relationships you have oxytocin. And it's really great. And there's also dopamine and serotonin and endorphins, if you really want to know. But it's really exciting. Makes me so happy.
And the song brings them all up. And then the other exciting part about this song is it brings up condoms, spermicidal lubricant, and IUDs.
Yes.
Which may not be important to all male viewers of the show, but like to hear those things like shouted out by name is like so empowering and cool.
Yes. Oh, and then we have a friend who said, are there condoms that can prevent this feeling? But she said it before I'd seen this episode, and I was like, oh, honey, are you okay? It'll be just fine. And she's like, no, you just haven't seen the episode. It's a song. And I was like, oh, okay. Oh, no, strike that from the record. Okay, never mind. Bye. Okay, bye.
And we have a reversal of the usual shower scene when somebody takes a shower because they regret the sex they had. She's taking a shower to try to wash off the feeling.
She even washed her hair to wash off those feelings.
It gets ingrained in like your scalp.
It's everywhere.
At the so like there's a sex going on at the end Rebecca goes, I have to break into a pie shop. So she breaks into the pie shop with Paula. Paula asks, why do you smell like spit? She hasn't quite figured out the whole thing, but she's getting there. Rebecca pees herself in the place. Her pants mostly soak it up. And they steal Peggy Rose's secret ingredient. And then at Paula's, they discover the secret ingredient is unsalted butter.
Well, and when they're trying to like steal from the pie shop, Rebecca's like, no, we're going to make this really intense, yes. You guys. We're just going to like make this mission impossible.
She does the Catherine Zeta-Jones from...
is it Entrapment? Movie.
I think it was. With Sean Connery and their thieves.
I think so, yeah.
I think that's what it was.
Yeah, where she did like the butt thing, goes down.
Yeah.
And then she like takes some flour and blows it, and she's like, just to make sure there might be lasers.
Yep.
No, there's not lasers.
And back at Paula's, Rebecca says to Paula, you don't need a secret ingredient. Like, we don't need a secret ingredient.
Aww.
And that's kind of like the whole thing. Everybody in this episode is trying to find out like the secret. Like,
if this were Full House, we'd have that special music right in that moment. Oh, no.
Well, they're trying to find out the secret to not getting hurt. And they don't really need to do that.
Yeah, so there is no secret. It's just...
Yes, there is. Be a robot.
Replace all your organs with cybernetic organs.
System processing.
So back at Rebecca's. More sex. Rebecca suggests to Greg that they go on a date tomorrow. Greg already has a date. And then Rebecca says she has 8 dates.
Yeah.
So many.
What musical schedule?
Yeah.
I'm on a Broadway schedule.
Yes!
Yeah.
She's got a matinee one day.
So cute.
And at the pie eating contest, Daryl promises to vote for Paula.
Nepotism.
Yeah, it's going well. Like, there's all this delicious pie. Rebecca falls to the floor because of the UTI.
That she hasn't taken care of. How is that woman standing? Like,
oh, my God. Just, she needs so many antibiotics.
You know what I mean, though? Like, if she's in that, if it gets so bad that you faint, like, how are you standing?
Well,
how have you functioned in your day? No.
And then you weren't.
She gets so wrapped up in trying to be a better person that she stopped paying attention to her physical health, like trying to do everything with.
I just don't understand how that's possible, though. Like, that's a lot of pain.
yeah because I've ended up in a hospital for UTI and I didn't faint before it, so it's painful.
Thanks.
I've had one. I haven't had to go to the hospital, but like, yeah, that's like, even if you're kind of crunchy to granola, like, I'm going to take these natural painkillers or whatever. Like, if you've got an UTI, you're just running for the antibiotics right away. Like,
yeah, because it's like everything below your like rib cage just shuts down. In case you don't know what that pain feels like.
And then there's that panic moment where you're like, does this mean I'm going to die? Does this mean that like I'm never going to be happy again?
Mine was dumb because I was like, I don't even know what could be wrong with me.
Yeah.
And it was like, I ended up at the hospital and they're like, you have a UTI. And you're like, oh, really? And they're like, and it basically like broke down. Like, it comes from sex and stuff.
It can come from other things though too. Yeah.
Like, I don't know. Not drinking water. Drinking a lot of beer.
Have you been sitting on a lot of toilet seats lately?
Yeah. Such an after-school special version of it. And like such a not important story until some storyline like this in a sitcom and you're like, that's something people deal with too.
You are not alone. I'm
we can talk about the UTIs now.
Finally it's on top. Or it's off.
It's no longer taboo to talk about the office.
You don't have to hide your painful UTI.
That's so good.
Greg's on his double date with Hector and Angie and I forgot her name. But anyway, it's not important. Because Greg received a text from Rebecca that she's in the hospital. So he leaves this hot date. And then they're in the hospital. All these plot lines come together. Paula won the contest. She's standing there with Rebecca, being all motherly. Rebecca texted Greg earlier. Paula texted Josh. So they're both there, and it's a little awkward.
Strange.
Paula asks, what's wrong with my cookie, to the doctor, and Dr. Roth says, I don't know what's wrong with your cookie, but hers is a mess.
Great one-liner.
And he's a terrible doctor. That's a violation of HIPAA. But he's taking stand-up classes, so he needs the material. Dr. Roth is played by Dan Greger, who is Rachel Bloom's actual husband.
What? Not gonna rewatch that. That's so cool.
So Rebecca will hook, not Rebecca, Rachel will hook loved ones up with jobs.
Yeah. Who won it? He's like, come on, yeah. let me be the douchey doctor. It'll be great.
He's really good at it, too.
Yeah.
Paula is... She hears the UTI diagnosis. She's getting pissed that Rebecca is sleeping with somebody and lied about it, because how dare she have a private life?
We share everything. I know your passwords.
Yes. And Greg confirms that it's him. And Rebecca wakes up and then immediately decides to go back to sleep.
The classic move of I am still asleep.
Yes.
Oh, no. This is the wrong combination of faces.
Abort. Sleep. Abort. And at the end, we see the doctor doing bad 80s stand-up in front of a brick wall.
Oh, and then, Greg also gets her the trifecta, like the best get-well-soon balloon ever. You remember?
That might be the next episode?
That's the next one. Oh. Yeah, this one ended right
here. Fretzicle.
Teaser.
Teaser for a balloon. I was like, but I just kept thinking about the balloon. Sorry, guys.
It is great to see the contrast, though, and how the characters would treat somebody that they care for.
Because there's three distinct people, and I'd say two distinct kind of relationships with Rebecca in that room, and those there's still three different responses. So it's awesome. Yeah,
that's awesome.
That whole, but it's such those are, I think, my two favorite episodes of all time.
Oh, man.
Because, you get Greg in them.
Greg!
There's so much growth of all of them. They're minor events that are actually, big growth moments, I think, in their lives or in the characters. Mm-hmm. Greg is happy. Josh is upset. Even those two traits shown in those characters show a different layers to them that you haven't seen.
It's backwards layers.
Yeah, exactly. We're gonna for this episode, we're gonna switch their personalities. How are we gonna do that? But it's important to see. I don't know, for more for humanizing them, I guess, a little bit more and making them go through something that is unusual from who they usually are. They're not maintaining that same emotional disposition that you've seen the whole time up to this point. They've got other layers, I guess.
And they're some of the best songs in the entire season in these two episodes.
Yeah. Oh yeah, standalone, and then just from like an analysis level of why they're in this episode. What are they saying? What are the lyrics? So good.
Oh, yes.
I feel like we didn't talk about one of them. But no, I guess we did. Because it was UTI, I Think I Like You, Heavy Boobs, and...
Karate Flash Dance.
Karate Flash Dance. I think there's one more in that first episode.
According to Wikipedia, I could have if I wanted to.
Clean up on aisle four
in the Heavy Boobs. Okay. Yeah. And then in episode 17, there was I Gave You a UTI, Angry, Mad. And oh my god, I Think I Like You.
Aww. That angry mad one, it's so confident to have a song out there with only 25 words.
Yes. But it's a very Josh thing too, where he's I don't talk about feelings. What the frick is happening?
Because he's never confronted a feeling in his life, right?
Yeah.
Because if I wrote that, I'd probably be like, this needs more. This is not enough.
Yeah. But you guys, Josh is a man who really enjoys suppression. He suppresses with a smile. And so this is one of those times he can't smile. And it just bottles up a bunch of stuff that he's not used to dealing with.
And it's all the stuff he's not used
all
to dealing
the things,
with.
Yes. Which is everything other than smiling. And there's a lot.
Although it always bugged me, this is another one where every now and then you're is he really that dumb? Like, yeah, this one, he's pretty dumb.
But he also just has really intense coping mechanisms. Like, if you're looking at him from a standpoint of science, he just copes by making everything suppressed under a smile. That's deep.
That is deep.
Yeah, he's one of those people who always has to spin it positively, right?
Yes, like, but this is also saying happy people of the world, and I speak as a happy person, one that gets taken for being just happy all the time. Mm-hmm. Happy people are not happy all the time.
Well, yeah, you have. You can't be.
We're not one-dimensional. And putting it out there for everyone who smiles.
Happy means more. You know how to handle your emotions, not necessarily.
Yeah. You lock that stuff down. Yeah. Lock it down.
Lock it down. Keep it for yourself. Don't
That's
share it
right.
with others.
You don't cry until you are alone or in a movie theater.
Yeah. Because you don't want to burden anyone with that.
Exactly. Yes. It doesn't mean you're not sad. You just hide it better than everyone else. Congratulations. You deserve a medal. Oh. There should be an Olympics for you.
So good. Did you guys ever watch The Comeback?
Oh, do tell.
It was HBO with Lisa Kudrow.
Oh, I think I've seen a couple episodes.
She's like, I just was watching some of that, and that's one of those episodes, or that's one of those characters too, that is like super happy, like totally in denial.
Yeah.
And I don't know. You almost start to like feel that way when you watch someone that's so good at it. You're like, oh yeah, I could never tell anyone anything that's going on with me.
I could just be a locked box of feelings.
I could live on the surface and just never have a conversation. That'd be great. It's going so well for this character.
And then if I ever happen to show something, people will freak out.
That is the downside, yeah.
They'll be like, are you broken?
That's
is
wrong,
there a repair
Josh.
Shop for you? Where do I go to get you fixed?
Aw, you can't fix Josh.
Oh, Josh.
Only Josh can fix Josh.
Only Josh.
Oh, that's deep.
I mean, that's all of them. I was about to ask who's the most broken on the show, but that's really...
You know what? They're like the land
for the bottom.
Toys. They're all broken in their own ways.
Who's the least broken? Father Bra.
And probably White Josh.
White Josh.
Yes, so if we're looking
Who
at the land of misfit toys.
Absent?
Mm-hmm. Oh yes. If we're looking at the land of misfit toys, I would say Father Bra is like the bird who can't or the duck who can't swim, because that's really not so bad, right? Mm-hmm. And then you have Josh. Mm-hmm. What? Do you guys know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I do.
Okay, good. What, just making sure.
It's the claymation one. Yes.
Yeah, like the Rudolph thing, right?
I know the production studio,
yes,
but I can't name
and then
anything
White
for
Josh
my life.
Is the one who was like the Dolly with the name that was supposed to make her odd because she had the wrong name. I'm like, yeah. Mm-hmm. So you guys are the misfit toys that aren't so bad. And then you have like Josh, who's like the boat that sinks, and then and all the rest of them.
Greg, who can't accept love.
Yes,
and Rebecca.
Maybe
who...
he's the boat who sinks. We need more than that. Well, let's see who the misfit toys are. Talk amongst yourselves.
Well, we discover them. That was the Rudolph one, right?
Yes!
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Rudolph goes to the land, so Rudolph wasn't messed up. Or
he was
Rudolph messed up?
Rudolph had the red
he's
nose.
He's got the red nose that no one
That's
likes.
That's not cool.
So he's
well, I mean,
the Rebecca.
Cool, but...
So he's the Rebecca.
Oh, Rudolph. Yeah,
a really
like
obvious
the...
problem
yeah.
that like people kind of don't relate to. Because like, there's constantly things in... Every episode, pretty much, or every other, where she's like, yeah, no, I'm... And there was the instance where Mrs. Chan is like, you wouldn't frame Valencia. That's something sad and crazy people do.
And she immediately thinks of Paula. She knows immediately. Well, yeah. I mean, there's not that many suspects, but...
But then Rebecca's like, yeah, I'm both of those things, like, very matter-of-factly.
Oh, so here we go. Okay so Misfit Toys. I'll tell you the top ones that show up, and we can talk about who's who. I mean, we don't have to.
Yeah, no, we should.
Okay, so we have Charlie in the Box. We have a scooter for Jimmy, like, the scooter with, like, the square wheels. You remember that guy?
Oh, yeah, so it doesn't go anywhere.
Yeah, and then
Greg.
A dolly for... Yes! Oh, yes! Okay, so we already know. Greg is the scooter for Jimmy.
You two are carrying this because Jim and I obviously don't remember
no!
this.
I know what you're talking about right now. I haven't seen
it
recently enough
metaphors.
To have
you can
any
like...
kind of a, yeah.
Yeah, okay, so
hear these descriptions and think of the metaphors.
Okay, yeah, like a spotted elephant. An elephant with spots. Who would be the elephant with spots? I think Paula.
Yeah, maybe. maybe. I don't know yet.
Oh, you don't know yet. Okay. Let's see. We also have a bird.
What's the problem with an elephant having spots?
Would it be Daryl?
It stands out. Yeah, it could be Daryl.
Daryl would be an elephant with spots because he's still adorable.
Yeah, because I was like, that's cute. That's not a problem.
Or White Josh. He's a beautiful man. He deserves some spots. The water pistol that squirts jelly.
Okay.
Water pistols.
Something that's violent but also harmless or useless. We're smart.
My mind
but useless.
Eventually went to Valencia, except she would not have jelly.
Maybe Heather.
Oh yeah. Ooh. Yeah, she's pretty much has all the potential in the world, but just like
not using it. Yeah.
Not using it.
She hasn't squirted her jelly yet.
You guys, I said a scooter for Jimmy, but it was the train with square wheels on its caboose. I think it's
still
Greg. Yeah.
Square wheels is Greg.
Yeah.
No question.
Oh, a bird that swims. I feel like the bird that swims could also be Heather. Because she's beautiful. Yeah. And her hair would look great underwater.
She would, like a little mermaid.
Aww. She's just meant for great things. I say more items, and you're not giving me more items. You're lying. the dolly for Sue, which is just like your doll. What's wrong with you? And then there's something about a cowboy.
Okay.
Cowboy.
Oh, a cowboy who rides an ostrich.
That's cute.
Hector. He's a surfer.
He wants to ride his mom.
Or that.
Oh, a winged bear.
It could be Paula.
Okay.
I could see that.
I don't know why, but
the boat that can't
maybe
stay
White
afloat.
Josh's exes would be the winged bear. That's future.
Oh, I like that.
I can't wait to talk about White Josh. So we should just skip all the episodes in between.
Yes. Oh, and a wind-up mouse that is nestling in clown dolls. I feel like that's Josh.
Yeah.
He's secretly a mouse inside of a bunch of nestling dolls.
Yeah.
Or is that the mom?
Oh.
Could be. Like a lot of layers.
Oh, are you talking about...
Naomi.
Naomi? Mm-hmm.
Got all these like scary layers, but you're just a mouse.
Yeah.
Just wound up. Going in circles.
Oh, like one of the misfit toys is a pink fire truck. I find nothing wrong with a pink fire truck. Just saying. It's fine. But yeah, okay, so we've talked a little bit about who they would be. That's exciting.
How much time? I don't know.
We only have like right. 7 minutes left.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, we're pretty much at the end. So.
I don't know how much more we could get into.
No, that's pretty much it. In fact, we
feel free on our Twitter site or Facebook. Tell us who you think they'd be.
Yes, tell us who you think they were. Who we misdiagnosed.
We'll give the winner a prize.
We have a series finale next week to talk about, or not a series, a season finale.
Oh, yeah.
Words are important. Series is still going strong. Thank God. It's so awesome. No, but so we're going to recap basically how does this season end? And then, like, where does it go from there?
Where do we go?
What tonal shifts do we get? What kind of cool character changes do we get? That's kind of all, like, set up in the next episode.
Yeah.
And then we'll go from there.
I've been following Instagram a little bit of like the shooting of season 3.
Oh my gosh. Anything cool to like mention?
They don't give away much. You just
get
to see
them. Well, good. I was like, anything cool to mention that doesn't give anything away?
Yeah, no, there's nothing that like you just see them on set and stuff goofing around with each other. Although I'm off of Instagram right now. So my password has been purposely changed so that I cannot.
Did you get Paula'd?
No.
I was like, it's not Lent. What are you doing?
It's my Lent.
Aww.
Taking a step away from it all.
Yeah. It's nice. It's a relief.
It is nice. Yeah. I've talked about doing that before in the past, and yeah.
It's I've
nice
never talked about doing that.
When the impulses start to reside and you find yourself like doing something else, it's like, oh, okay, this is good.
Yeah,
this
you don't reach for your phone to like look at it.
Exactly.
That's
And instead you reach for a pen and write something down. It's like, whoa, that was useful. Aww. Wow. That's
breaking old patterns.
That's right.
Being healthy.
Sorry.
I'm surprised there wasn't a song for that. Like, feeling. I don't mean, I guess it was Dream Ghost, but still.
For, like, what? The being healthy feeling?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's such a big theme, and there's never, like, an outright song. Like, I'm going to be healthy now.
We're going to make one up. We'll make up our own song.
We'll premiere it next week.
Holy crap. Are we really going to premiere it next week?
I don't know. That's a very short deadline, but maybe.
We can make this happen. We're improvisers. We got this.
We'll figure something out.
Yeah. Are we really making a song, though? Because, you know, I don't want people to get their hopes up, including me, and then not have this song.
All right, we'll talk about it then once.
We'll talk about it. That's what parents say when they don't want to talk about it.
Okay, well, well, we're not going to talk about it now because we do have to wrap. But
fine.
We'll talk about it off air, so keep the secret safe. To recap our voices again, this is Moosh.
Angela.
Shannon.
Jim.
And we will be back next Wednesday in some configuration to talk about season 1 finale.